God bless you, brothers and sisters. Amen. God bless you. We are so glad. Amen. Praise God to be back in the holy place one more time. And we come back before you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. With the continuation of our hymns. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we just thanking God for all of our followers. Amen. Praise God that has been tuning in to the apostolic anointed fire of God's holy word. Amen. I thank God for these series that the Lord has brought me to do on the 10 M's. Yes, the 10 M's. Amen. Praise God. We already formatted and got some out. And I want to thank all of my followers. Amen. Praise God. That is from here in the 28 surrounding states and the 4 foreign countries, including Spain and Germany, that have been tuning into the prophet. God bless you. Amen. Praise God and your family. We pray God blessings upon you and your loved ones, that God continue. Amen. Pray God to bless and keep and heal. Amen. Praise God and set you free. Amen. Praise God. We have already discussed. Amen. We did a tape on our first M called Manhood. And then we came back and we done the second tape on ministry and the third tape on message. Our fourth tape we did on the M is maturity. Our fifth M that we did was talking to you about marriage. Amen. We enjoyed that one. And then the sixth one, we came and we talked to you. Amen. Praise God on methods. And today, this afternoon, I'm coming to you. Amen. Praise God live here at the temple. Amen. Praise God bringing you the seventh M. Amen. And this afternoon, we want to talk to you on the M called manners. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know, as I think about that manners, right off the top of my head, I thought about something my mama used to tell me many years ago when we were just a little child. She said, baby, she said, your manners will carry you where your money won't. Ain't God good? Amen. Be careful how you entertain and treat the people when you're going up the ladder, because it's a known fact that you will see the same faces when you come down the ladder. God bless you. My daddy used to piggyback daddy. He'd come, he said, baby, he said, praise God, don't burn the bridges that you have to go across, because you may in life need that same bridge to get back over. Amen. So this afternoon, I want to talk to you, amen, praise God, about manners. Amen. Praise God. The morning message was so intriguing and so good. We talked about, amen, praise God, hallelujah, the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, praise God, how he had sanctified himself. Amen. Praise God through the truth, so that we'll be able to sanctify ourselves through that truth. He said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And no man will come unto his Father except he come through by him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about manners today. When Paul wrote to Titus, oh, glory be to God, he included in his letter a list of qualifications for an overseer. Amen. Praise God. Today, in our days and time now, we have a lot of people that are in position, because everybody today, the church now is losing the glory. When I said losing the glory, listen to the apostle very clearly today as the prophet speaks to you. The church today is losing the glory train, which means the Shekinah glory, the anointing that makes the service what it is gone today. Now the church is becoming a place of entertainment. Glory be to God. We're entertaining now all kind of spirits. The Bible said, amen, praise God, to know the devil and his devices, didn't he? The Bible said, believe not every spirit, but do what? Try the spirit to see whether it is of God or not. Amen. Now we are puffed up. The Holy Ghost is not puffed up. It don't soon anger. People are mad. They jealous. They hateful. They hatred. They, oh my God, it's just getting bad. And the kingdom of God has suffered much by violence. That means that we allow the devil to come in through violent behaviors. Come on, praise God, through wrong actions. Amen, praise God. God spoke to me through the fire cloud. And he said, tell the people, I say, stay focused. Amen, but it's hard to stay focused. And he come back and said, now the enemy to focus is distraction. And every time you try to stay focused and keep your eyes on the Lord and on the prize, the devil sends some distraction to you. Amen. Something come to distract you and get you off of your game. Amen. Now, how many of y'all know, amen, praise God, that bad communication corrupts good manners? I was always told that as a child. Bad communication corrupts good manners. I taught them today, amen, praise God. The Bible said, you are blessed or you are cursed. Then he come back and said, how are we blessed and cursed? Through by the company that we keep. Glory be to God. You got to watch the company that you keep. So let's check Paul out. When Paul wrote to Titus, he included in his letter a list of qualifications for an overseer. Overseer is somebody that is in charge, okay? That is oversight, that God put a watchman on the wall to oversight the structure, amen, of the saints, as well as reminders about how the people were to behave themselves. Glory be to God. These instructions help us see the kind of manners that should characterize God's ministers. Come on, somebody. Now, God's ministers cannot be hateful, cannot be arrogant, cannot be self-centered, cannot be selfish. Come on, we're going to break this thing down as we go, because some of them you can't talk to today. Come on, their characteristics is not matching the collar or the robe or the suit that they wear. Glory be to God. And I don't think that you should put on the attirement of the ministerial until the inside or what's underneath that robe or behind that collar is straightened first. Glory be to God. I was always told as a child coming up, there is something on the inside, glory be to God, that will work on the outside and bring about a change in my life. I believe that when you put that collar too tight on your neck or that robe on or that suit, amen, praise God, and then you come out looking distinguished, amen, with heady and high mind, arrogant and all this thing, want to be seen, want to be heard. Come on, praise God, trying to take Jesus' spotlight or Jesus' place. Praise the Lord. Amen, praise God. We mess up the form and the format that Jesus had for his church. First of all, I would like to first, amen, intertwine here for just a second and let you know who you're messing with and what the church is. Amen. The church is just not a structure. So our manners, we got to be, you know, always we teach about gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen of all ages, huh? Amen. So God teach a man because God created the man in his own image. This is going back to manhood now. Amen. We're not going to tap that tonight. Going back to manhood. But God made the man in his own image. And it's a man's job by God to know how to take care of his household. But if a man cannot take care of his own house, the Bible says he's worse than an infidel. Amen. Praise God. So the church is not a structure. The church is not a building. Amen. Her name is called Ecclesia. Glory be to God. Amen. Her name is called Ecclesia, and she is the bride of Christ. Amen. So she's not, don't treat this church as a building. Amen. Praise God. You just walk up in the church with your evil self, with your mean self, and your manners ain't right, your behaviors ain't right, your character ain't right, your attitudes ain't right. And I always teach people, it is your attitude that will determine your altitude. Amen. Praise God. You only can go as far in life as your attitude take you. There is a cutoff point. Amen. If your attitude is not right, glory be to God. But the church, amen, is not a structure. It's not brick. It's not mortar. It's not clay. It's not pews. It's not a carpet. It's not all of what we have drawn her out to be. The Ecclesia is a drawn out body of Christ believers. It is the bride of the Lord. Amen. She belongs to God. That's his bride. That's his wife to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we got to treat her as such. Y'all come up in here with wrong manners, and because why? You hadn't been raised right, and you don't have no manners right. Amen. Praise God. And so you think that what you do at your home and how you've been, your upcoming and your training, you bring that attitude and the manners to the house of God. Come up in the house of God chewing like a billy goat. Come on, praise God. Bring you a little McDonald's cups and Burger King cups and all kind of stuff in the house of the Lord, disrespecting the bride of the Lord, throwing paper on the floor. Amen. Praise God. Disrespecting the house of God, disrespecting the headship, the leaders of God. Come on, our manners, we're talking about manners, amen, is wrong. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Amen. Praise God. We're going to bring some clarity back, some sanctification back, some love back, some repentance back, some forgiveness back. Because you can work on anything else, before you work on anything else, I think that there should be some manners adjustments. Amen. So we're going to talk about what Paul said. So when Paul wrote this letter, amen, praise God, included in his letter a list of qualifications for an overseer. Amen. He was talking about the conduct that's going on in the church. He was classifying the deacons and the bishops, and the bishop had the same qualifications as the deacon. Come on, praise God. He was telling you, praise God, that they shall be blameless, the husband of one wife, and not given to drink, and all this stuff that he taught, not a brawler, not a striker. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God is setting you over the headship or the lordship as an overseer in the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, I understand, and I do give people credit. The Bible said no man is perfect. So this means that if there is nobody perfect, then there is room for perfection. He said you're not perfect, so he give you space and time to work on being perfect. Come on, praise the Lord. That means that there's something wrong with all. So let's trace it from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. You know, every time that God calls somebody, notice that the Lord, he used imperfect men and women in the Bible. And then he spoke perfect words through their imperfect lips. Amen. He grabbed a man that had flaws. Come on, praise the Lord. There was always something wrong. Look at Moses. Moses stuttered, couldn't speak well. Come on, praise God. He allowed, just like we do sometimes, he allowed the people to disturb him. He got so angry with them. And they, I know they got on his nerves a whole lot of time. They saw the miracles. They saw everything. And they tried to turn around. They grumbling. They complaining. They finding fault. And Moses got so angry and upset, he took the staff. And God told him to speak to the rock. He struck it. Glory be to God. Amen. Because why? We got to be careful today. Amen. Praise God. That our manners stay in the way, or in the tune that God wanted to be. So let's check this, as well as reminder about how all the people were to behave. So manners would teach us how, coming from God, how he wants his children to conduct themselves and behave as ministers first. Now notice this, he's not talking to the parishioners, he's not talking to the saints, he's starting off in the head, because he said overseers, right? So he's starting off with the fivefold ministry, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, on down. Why? Because this was for the perfecting of the saints and for the edifying of the house of God. Amen. So if the manners and the character adjustments and the likeness of God and the fruits of the Spirit is not being operated from the head, from the pulpit out, then you cannot adjust the church or change the church from the chair coming up here. It got to be changed from the pulpit to the door. Glory be to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Because the people coming in from the outside already with wrong behaviors, already with bad characters, already with toe up life, upside down life, disturbed, drug addicts, divorce, separation. Every time somebody come and there's an addition to your church, you're not gathering up and members are not joining your church. These are not people that are coming to take up with you and join. Let me give you some golden nugget. These are spirits that have come to connect themselves to you. Do you understand that now? See, we're looking for members, and what you're taking in is spirits. Glory be to God. Amen. Because they're bringing their problems to the house of God. They're bringing their issues to church. Something ran them in here. Something pushed them to God. The bad divorces, bad separation, children misbehaving, bad manners, bad corrupt communication. They're going through a poverty or financial disaster. Some kind of chaotic thing have hit them. And they said, you know, we need help. We need prayer. I think I'm going to go join a church. I'm going to go get in a Bible school or get under some Bible teaching. And I want to share this with you too. Bible school doesn't make you a preacher. The Holy Ghost does. So I want you to understand that. You can go anywhere you want to go. Amen. Praise God. And come out with any kind of license you want. And you can have degrees, and they could give you all 27 alphabets behind your name. It doesn't make you a preacher. Amen. Praise the Lord. The school, one thing that the schools do not teach. Amen. Praise God. They do not teach the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. And amen. And it's the power of God. If you are not called through, if the Holy Ghost has not unctioned you and embraced you and qualified you to be a preacher, you're not a preacher by a letter. You're not a preacher by a letter. Amen. You cannot preach by the letter, for the letter killeth, but it's the spirit that makes it come alive. So I wanted to throw that in there. Amen. That, I thought that'll help somebody. Amen. Praise God while you're on your way to your seminary. Come on, praise the Lord. Or cemetery. Lift your hand and give God a praise. I want to let you know, amen, praise God, that the school does not make you a preacher. Glory be to God. You must have the gift and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, God calls you and he empowers you to go forth in him. Lift your hand and give God a praise. And who God called, he qualifies and equipped with power from on high. The school don't give you that. They give you a stamp. Glory be to God. They give you a credential. Amen. Praise God. And amen. Praise God. God didn't send me to be passed by men. I got to pass by. Said men can't pass me. I got to pass by men. I wish I had somebody that understood that. So I'm going to say that again to you so you can understand. Men, amen, don't pass me for the qualifications of the preacherhood or the priesthood. No, I got to bypass men and go straight to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come from the throne room of God. Amen. And God got to call me, not men. Men don't call you. God call you. There's not a man on this earth that could call you and ordain you. Come on, pray God, to preach the gospel. Come on, pray the Lord. Hey, so men don't pass you. You got to bypass men and go straight to the power of the Holy Ghost and hear directly from the headquarters and let God call you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So we're going to deal with this tonight so you can understand exactly what I'm saying to you. All right. Now, these instructions help us to see the kind of manners that should characterize God's ministers. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless. Because he can't stand here and blame the parishioners or blame the children of God if he's blamed with the same blame. He must be blameless. Not overbearing. Oh Lord. Some of them take their ministry to the extreme. The Bible speaks about these twin towers that came down in New York. I want you to understand that in the church too. The twin towers, amen, that came down in New York City is also the twin towers in the church called heady and high-minded. These are the twin towers in the house of God. We get too arrogant. We get too high-minded. We become too boastful. We get a little name. We get a little authority. We get a little power. And now we misuse and we abuse somebody else's wife. Remember now, the church is the bride of the Lord. Her name is called Ecclesia. Ecclesia means a drawn out body of Christ believers. And we got to be careful how we usurp authority over anybody who believe in Christ. Glory be to God. We got to be careful now how we treat people. Mama said, treat people the way you want to be treated. But what you, Matthew 7:7, judge not. But whatever judgment that you judge, it shall be judged back to you. How much measure, that means how much you put out, it will come back to you. So watch your manners, because your manners is very important. Okay? Now, not overbearing, not quick temper. We got some that they got a short fuse. I don't know if y'all used to buy firecrackers, and I remember as a child, I used to play with them, but not then. And sometimes we had something they call a dud. A dud had that little short fuse. It was a yes, so on that firecracker. And we try to light that, and it'll pop your hand or pop up in your face. So you got to be, you got some folks like that. They very short tempered. Why? Because they're in position, they're in authority, they're standing behind this holy rostrum or sitting in a pew or whatever position and title that they're holding in the church. But listen here, they forgot one of the fruits they call temperance. The fruit of temperance, that's self-control. And the Greek said, how do you know you got that? Because now you're able to, by the power of the Holy Ghost, to do what? Control yourself. Anybody that named the name of Jesus and say that God called them and standing in front of the crowd or behind the crowd and cannot control themselves is not called of God. God said, anyone that have not my spirit, they are not none of mine. Amen. So we have to, this also has something to do with what? Your manners. Because if you can't control your temper and your short fuse, your manners are going to be off. You're not going to present good character, good manners, behavior, polite. Amen. So it says here, now watch this here. So they must not be overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness. See what this is? This is another kind of manners. A drunk spirit will present you what? A different manner when they come around. They're not going to be at their best behavior. See? When a drunk person or a high person or somebody on crack or cocaine or somebody mad or whatever they're going through, their attitudes determine the manners that they're presenting. Okay? So a drunk person, we all should know that their manners are going to be a little bit different from a person what? That don't drink. See? All right, a person that's quick-tempered, their manners are going to be a little different from somebody who is not upset. Or who is not quick-tempered. Glory be to God. All right, now look, not violent. You got some violent preachers, some violent overseers, some violent deacons, some violent trustees, and then people want you to come to church and they violent, and my God, so if you violent and I'm sick, or it's time for, I need prayer, I wouldn't want your violent paws on my head, because you got to pray for me. Said, let them call for the elders of the church, and they shall lay hand on you, anoint you with oil. Now I'm scared. Come on, lift your head, you got to pray, because you violent, now you want to pray. See what manners that throws you into the wrong manner. They should not be violent, not pursuing what? Dishonest gain. Uh-oh. See, crooks. Come on, dishonest. Trying to do everything in the wrong way. Amen. Rather, he must be what? Hospitable. Now, see this here? Hospitable. It's always giving another what? A different aptitude. A different attitude is coming now with hospitable people. Because why? They're happy. They're a hostess. They're charming. They know how to entreat you. They know how to be a guest. They know how to offer you stuff. See the different attitude and manners now to come? There's going to be manners coming, shifting of gears. Glory be to God. See, manners come by shifting gears. So you got to understand, everybody can't drive them big old trucks. I know I can't. Come on, praise God, my son can drive them, but pray the Lord. So when you're shifting gears, you go in a different attitude. It reminds me when I was a child, we had a ring called a mood ring. And even if you put this ring on your finger and it was based on what kind of attitude you were in, guess what happened? The ring would change colors. Come on, it works like with your vital sign. Let me check your vitals. You know, your temperature could go up. One minute you're up, your blood pressure up. Next thing, low. Come on, praise the Lord. So people change. And I just got through preaching this last Sunday. People change. Things go wrong, but life goes on. So we got to understand, what is God saying to you? So we're talking about manners. So Paul was writing to the letter to Titus about the manners and the qualification of the people and how they should behave in the house and conduct themselves where, in the house of God, or let's put it to you this way, around women. So you don't want to hear this now. Because why? The church, I told you her name, I didn't say his name, her name is called Ecclesia. And it is Jesus. Jesus died for his wife. He died for her. And that's like men, have you ever heard that term, I die for you? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus died for her. And that is his bride. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see what happened with Rebecca when Jacob had to go to Laban? Amen. Praise God. Rebecca means church. Glory be to God. Amen. Eleazar represented the Holy Spirit that went to the church to bring the church, which was Rebecca, back through by Eleazar, back to Isaac. Come on here, pray God, which represent Jesus. So you see, Eleazar represented the Holy Spirit. He was sent by the father, Abraham. Abraham got a servant. Eleazar, come here. So that's God sent God and Jesus. Okay? And then so he was sent. Don't go to Canaan. Don't go to the world and get my son a daughter to marry. Just like you that are born again. You should be careful where you get your bride from. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Don't go to Canaan, but go among my kin people. Now, we're not telling you to marry your sisters. Come on here. Your cousin, your niece, your daughter. We're not telling you that. Incest. We're not speaking about that. But go to my kin, to the church. Not to the world, but to the church. Go to her. See, Rebecca represented the church. Eleazar represented the Holy Spirit. Isaac represented Jesus. Abraham played the role of God. God told Eleazar, the Holy Spirit, go among my people and bring my son a daughter to marry. So the Holy Spirit went down, come on here, and got the church, the Ecclesia, and brought her back. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Brought her back so that she'll be able to be the bride to Isaac, which is Jesus himself. Glory be to God. So we got to watch our manners and how we do things. Now listen at this here. So we must be hospitable. We must be lovers what is good. When you got a good manners about you, you about good. You got a good character. You got a good attitude. Your manners is where it's supposed to be. Your manners is not man mean. And they're supposed to say, boy, you got some evil manners. Boy, you ain't got no manners at all. Boy, it's all how you raise up. And who some folks ain't got no kind of manners. Manners means respect. Some folks ain't got no respect. They done lost respect for the elders. That's why this letter is addressed to the elders. See, on how we need to treat people. And see, because respect is something you got to earn. You got to sow and then you reap back. You got to give and then you shall receive. Okay? So manners. Some folks ain't got no kind of manners. They mistreat their own parents. They talk ill to their mother and father. They're hateful out in the public. Then when they come around you, being a prophet of God or one of the fivefold elects of God, they talk like they talk to their loved ones. They don't have no respect, no reverence for God, no reverence for the overseer, no reverence for the bishop, the prophet, nobody. Because they don't have no manners. You see, when manners leave you, disrespect goes with it. See? Because why? It takes respect to groom your manners. If you're a very disrespectful person, your manners is off balance. If you're a respectful person, you know how to groom your manners, and then your manners will carry you where money won't. Your manners will get God to open up door for you. Your manners will give you favor before God and men. Your manners is what land you before prophets and priests. Your manners will make somebody hire you. Your manners will see past your style and your external and say, man, that's a good man, that's a good woman. That's what lands you. The favor of God is with you now because of your manners. People watch how you carry yourself. How you sit on an interview for a job, not sitting up in the chair slouching, hat turned backwards, coming in like you're going to rob them. Come on, pray then, tell me you want a job. Nobody's going to hire you. Your manners. People are looking at your manners, which is looking at you, paying attention to your attitude, which is paying attention to your behaviors, which is paying attention to your character, which is paying attention to your personality. Oh, I'm about to buy one of these tapes myself. Let me have to give God a praise. Amen. You need to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Your manners. We're talking about manners today. All right. Now listen here. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authority. Now, how many know right now we're going through this? This Paul said he remind the people to do what? To show respect. Come on now. Be subject to rulers and authority, to obey them that had a rule over you. Not disrespect the servant or the mouthpiece that God using to speak to you. Amen. But Paul wrote this letter to show the people how to be subject, huh? To authority, to a high authority. How to listen. See what I'm saying? How to pay attention. Not to tell them what to do, but to be submissive to the word of God and let them instruct you and tell you what thus said the Lord. Amen. That's what this is all about. Okay? Now, not only that, and to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. Now, how many of your manners ain't right? You're Clint Eastwood sitting up in here to make my day. Soon as somebody says something to you, you ready to go off. Because why? Your manners is not right. See what I'm saying? You got that low self-esteem. You're violent. All the above of what he said not to be. Okay? So don't slander people. Because why? You don't want to slander nobody. We right back to what? Treat the golden rule. What is that? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. All right? To be peaceful and considerate. All right? Now, when you're a peaceful person, guess what a peaceful person do? You consider your fellow man. But people who don't consider you, they don't consider how you feel. They don't consider your time. They don't consider nothing. They just bogart their way in. They don't consider your time. They don't value your time. They're not peaceful. And anybody that's not peaceful is slanders. And then when you talk about it, they're ready to go off in off to left field. Okay? So I said, don't be slandered, but to be peaceful and considerate. So when you are considerate about somebody else, that is a peaceful person. But when you're not a peaceful person, you don't even consider how nobody feel. Man, it might be late. You know, old folks used to tell us all the time, don't wear out your welcome. You know, certain things you just don't do when you're a peaceful person. Because blessed are what? The peacemaker. Why? For they be called the children of God. But when you're a peacemaker, you consider it person. You consider other folks' time. You try to do things by the book. You know, Gerard, I need to talk to you some, but is it a good time, though? You and your wife, you all right? I mean, I can do another time. I mean, you know, I'm considerate your time. You work. You might be tired. You might have something to do. You see what I'm saying? And I know how to work in when you're peaceful and you got a good man, you work in the time that you can get. You see what I'm saying? And that's how God does. So he's telling us through the letter how to come in the house of God and don't disrupt service. He's telling how to come in the house of God and submit yourself to the authorities. Don't come in the house of God eating and talking disorderly. God's preaching, you preaching. So one of the messages is not going to be heard. So maybe I need to shut up and let you go ahead and say your message. That's what he said. Submit yourself to the higher authority. You came here to be blessed. Then submit yourself to the one God's using to bless you. You came because you need an answer to some things you're going on in your life. Then come and submit yourself to the one who God's going to give the answer to. No, man does not have the answer. No, woman don't have the answer. But if they are the one that God ordained and placed in authority, then the answer will come through them from God to you if you be submissive. But if you're going to come in arrogant and you don't want to hear nobody going to tell you what to do, don't come in disrupting service. Don't come in disorderly. Don't come in talking while God talking. If you're going to have respect for that court downtown, that uncircumcised judge, have more respect when you come before the judge of the judge. If they won't let you speak in the courtroom because you know bailiff is standing there ready to take you to jail, you'll be fined in contempt. We need to find you contempt in here. Don't make me get my bailiffs loose. Come on, praise the Lord. We need to start finding you contempt in the house of the Lord for being disorderly. The Bible said when God spoke in heaven, everything was quiet and still. Ain't no way God's going to be talking and preaching, then you come in and getting all in the spirit and acting like the Holy Ghost got you, because the Holy Ghost ain't got you while God talking. The Holy Ghost is God. You can't get in another spirit while the spirit is already at work. You can't talk over God while God is already talking. We're talking about your behaviors and your characteristics. Today is manners day. I hope it's touching somebody who ain't got no manners. We don't want this word to go out for those, amen, praise God, who already know the ordinance of God. We're trying to correct the church. A man was very wise when he put the eraser on top of the pencil, because he knew that we were going to make error and mistake. But you had your eraser with you. Why? Here the Bible said, when you fall, what? Don't wallow. Get up. Brush yourself off. Correct yourself. Don't want to become or stay the same person you is. When you see you falling short, all have sinned and come short the glory of God. When you see yourself falling short, make an error, right away, immediately, simultaneously, clean up, erase that, and fix that. Oh man, I'm out of all of man of God. Whatever. Please forgive me. You know when you're disorderly. You know when you're out of place. You know what you're doing. Paul told Titus to tell the people, amen, praise God, charge the overseer how to conduct the church and how to carry the church and how to stand up for the house of God, amen, and then teach to children how not to be behavior, but be peaceful and considerate to those who are in authority. Don't come in and disrupt God's house. Stop talking over God. We can sing together, but we can't talk together. One got to talk, the other listen, then the other one let that one talk, and then you listen. But you can't do it together. You don't talk over each other, especially not with God. Lord, have mercy, this is good. Now, not only that, remind them to be subject to the rules of authority, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceful and considerate, and to what? Show true. Oh, we back up true again. And to show true what? Humility to all men. Glory be to God. You'll find that in Titus 1 and 7 through 8. Read it down in your own spare time. To show what? True humility to what? All men. What is the word humility? Where we get humility from? Humble. Humble is a way. The mixture what? Inherit the earth. Humble yourself before the almighty hand of God. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Glory be to God. I know this is touching somebody because it's touching me. Glory be to God. Now, all Christians, but especially Christian ministers, should be different from the world in their manners. Don't you see that right now? We told you this morning, we in this world, but we're not of it. But when we walk among them, and we are Christian believers, and we say we are serving the Almighty God and worshiping Jesus Christ, we must show a different manner and attitude that is different from theirs. There got to be a sign of difference. You in it, but you're not of it. But if the world can't see a difference, then you are of them. See? Where they're hateful, we must show love. Where they're mean, we must preach and say, this is not, brother, that's not the way that we do that. It got to be a difference between Christian believers and the world. Amen. It should be a difference from the world in their manners. Love must be the rule for their relations to others. All right, well, if love is the rule to your relationship toward others, and since the devil don't have no love bone in his body, and neither do you, and we're operating in love, then we must operate our love based on what genuine and true love is. Love is God. That means God got to be working in me to deal with them devils out there. Glory be to God. That means I'm going forth in God, showing the love of God. He's using my body to show off his love in a hateful generation. There's a spirit that's called forbearing. And when we're operating in the love of God will teach you to put up with stuff that normally he knowed if you did not have this type of love, you'd fall apart, you'd split somebody in, all kind of stuff, thing running through your head. But the love of God teaches us how to endure, put up, forbear, take stuff. And we only, and listen, let me tell you something, my beloved friend. You are not taking this because you taking this. You are taking this because he told you to take it. He said, the world would hate you for my name's sake. The only reason why they're hating you, not because of you. You world just like them. World loves his own. But because now you in me and I'm in you. Now they hate you because of me. Without me, they wouldn't hate you. But because you in me and I'm in you now, and you took up time with me. Now family, friends, and peers and everybody, they hate you now because they see that you taking up with me. And they feel like you neglecting them. Do you understand that now? And that's how this thing goes. So we got to understand what is God saying here. Love must be the rule for their relationships to others. And love is not just a feeling. Uh-oh. See, we got to understand, love is what? It's not just a feeling. You know, I feel good about you. I think I love you. I'm picking up a vibe. You know, you make me feel good. Glory be to God. Hey, love. Love is not a feeling. It's God. It's genuine God. See? That comes to make peace wherever there is confusion. It is a bridge over troubled water. See? It is a rope that will rescue you and deliver you. It is hands that you can't see in the natural realm that are there to save you. It's not a feeling. This is not a feeling. Love is not a feeling. It's not just a feeling. Love is a principle we practice. See? It's a principle. I taught my sons and daughters in the financial realm, I said, one thing that we can never do, Gerard, is spend the principal. You can only spend the interest you get from the principal. So love is not a feeling, it's a principle, it's a rule. It's an instruction, it's something that governs me. And I can't mess around and spend that. Or mean, because when you're spending, you're giving it away. I can't spend it, so I can't give you my love like that. That's God. But I can spend the interest. I can have interest in this, you know what I mean? And give you the interest of the principle. But the principle must never change because God said, I change not. Once you take away from the principle, it's not God no more. It become you. Because God said, don't add nor take away. Because I'm God and I cannot lie. We learned that today. I'm not a man that I should lie. Son of man, should I should repent about anything? If I said it, I'll make it good. So love is not a feeling. Glory be to God. Love is a principle we practice, a way of life. Not only that, but look here. Back to manners again. Love is gentle. And some folks don't know how to be gentle with you. Am I saying it right? Love is gentle. It's polite. That's my name. Hallelujah. My daddy always said, boys, don't bring shame to my name. That word polite means to be nice. It means to be nice. It means to watch your behavior and your attitude. He teaches how to be gentlemen. Okay? It's to be kind. When you got the right manners, you're a gentle person. Manners will make you gentle, make you polite, make you kind and discreet. Your right manners is self-control. You know how to control yourself. People don't mind going out with you. Don't mind taking you places because you ain't going to show out. You ain't going to embarrass them. You got some folks in the church. I learned a lesson years ago. I'll never take the church with me on a business no more. Glory be to God. Amen. I'll never take them with me because they caused me to miss my joy city. Worrying about what we going to get, when we going to get it. You'll get a whooping. That's what you're going to get when you get back home. You're going to get a whooping because the man is not talking to you. He's talking to your leader. You're only there to visualize. He told us to bring the church. He didn't tell you to raise your hand and speak out of turn. He's not talking to you. He says, submit yourself to authority. See? The devil used you to cause the church to miss what God had for it because you speak out of turn when you should be listening. Hallelujah. So now, self-controlled, peacefully considered, slow-tempered. In short, love is what? Mannerly. So we got to base these people that we're dealing with, son, not by what we see, not by what they look or how they dress. We got to start dealing with them by their manners. Because their manners will let you know who you're dealing with. Their manners is like a discernment. See? You're rude, you're disorderly, you got no respect. I got to handle you by your manners. I got to treat you by your manners. Let them show humility to those who have authority by God. So when we see that they ain't got no authority by God, we can't share with them. See, you greet them. You got to say, God bless you. How you doing? You got to always keep that kind. But when it comes to the ordinance of the church and the church standards and stuff, you can't share with them. But why? They're not subject to the authority of the church. And anything that is not subject to the authority cannot be in the church business of authority. That's powerful, ain't it? Now, listen to this here. All right? And the manners of the Christian minister should show him or her to be gentleman and lady. Lady and gentleman. Hallelujah. God is good. And we thank God. There was a group of ministers that got together, prophets that went overseas for a conference. They said when they got together and they came over there, all the prophets gave accurate prophetic words and preaching that was sound. Many miracles accompanied their ministries. But the national coordinator, watch this here, requested that one of the visiting ministers in particular not come back to that nation ever. Can you see this is a group of prophets that went over to do a conference. And they went over to minister to the people of God and get them right. But the national coordinator got up and said, listen, there's one in particular. We don't never want them to come back to our nation again. You always have one you don't want to see again. Let me give God a prayer. Now listen what God is saying. Their complaint was not about his ministry, because all of them preach well. All of them elaborated the word of God. They done what God said. So the complaint why we don't want you to come back to our nation was not about the word that you elaborated or you gave, but his manners. He had been so rude to the people. He said something. He had been rude, demanding, selfish, and disrespectful to most of those with whom he had come in contact with. He talked harsh and arrogant and didn't get polite answers, and because he thought he was somebody. You don't talk to me, you talk to my servant. See? And that one little thing stood out in a nation of respect, that the coordinator got up and said, We never want this man to come back to our nation again. Why? Not because of the ministry he's preaching. Not because of the word that he's preaching. Because he don't have the attitude to go with the word he's preaching. And until you start preaching, check your attitude first. Don't come out with your word until you come out with the attitude of the word. Glory be to God. And he was disrespectful. When we took him out to the restaurant, he was disrespectful with the waitresses in the restaurants, to the host coordinator. See what I'm saying? The host said he had to follow him making apologies behind him to everybody that he mistreated over in that nation. From the restaurant, from the hostess, from the waitress, he just talked like he... Now see how you could be well-dressed, well-spoken, thinking you this and that, then you don't know how to talk to a servant, and you a servant, and don't know how to talk to the servant serving you in the restaurant. And so every time he mistreat people, the bellboy, the bellman, taking his suitcase, boy, help, dude, he's just talking to people any kind of way. And so the hostess, the coordinator, had to go behind him because he lived there. These are just visitors. He lived there, and he had to go behind them and apologize and tip, apologize all of them for his behavior. See? What is the moral of the story? You can have a good word, but you ain't got good manners. And your manners will carry what a word won't. People will receive your manners first before they receive your word. See? You say Jesus all you want to, but they don't see Jesus' spirit. Look at the devil hollering Jesus. Come on, glory be to God. Huh? People will receive your manners and a proper conduct of the Lord before they receive what you're trying to say about the Lord in a wrong attitude or with the wrong manners. Check your manners. Don't just check your book. Don't check your doctrine. Check your manners. Let your manners introduce your doctrine to you. See? Do you understand that? And if your doctrine can't talk about your manners, then don't talk to me about your doctrine. Huh? If you have the faith in Jesus, then you'll have faith that Jesus wants you to carry yourself respectable. If we're going to come out to the public and talk about Jesus' love, then don't just say Jesus is love. Come out and show me the love that Jesus had. The love that spread abroad in each man's heart. Glory be to God. This is so good. Now understand that their complaint was about that. Gentlemen are not sissies. Gentlemen are not sissies. See? The church got to be on the lookout. Now we allow all this stuff. The church now then became first, the church and state don't even supposed to mix together. See? Now we got the women in the church. Us have been authority over the men. Two women want to be together. Two men want to be together. Abomination of desolation. See? When you look at a man and look at another man and both turn around, you see exits. You don't see entrances on any one of them. So since you don't see an entrance and all you see is exits, that's a forbidden sign. No trespassing stairway. Run for us. So you have to understand what God is doing. The Bible said, be fruitful and multiply. How are you going to be fruitful and multiply and both of you got the same thing? See, that shows me again what kind of manners you got. What kind of manners would you describe that as, Apostle? That's ill-mannered. Ill. That's ill-mannered. See? You can't obey God and you in position talking about you in headship and you want folks to submit to authority. How could they submit to authority? And then what are you submitting to when you're not submitting to authority? See? You got to submit to what you tell them to submit to. You can't teach them that it is wrong to do. And then you're doing the very thing that you're telling them don't do. And you got dark shadows behind you. Come on here. Where you step out here, they see one thing. And behind the curtain, you ain't got no wife. You got a man calling a wife. And then you're telling the church they're forbidden. Don't do that. Well, it's forbidden for you. It starts here. Then it goes out. Gentlemen aren't sissies. Men are strong in the Lord. Finally, my brother, be what? Strong, not weak. Open that door for your wife. Pull that chair out. Gentlemen. The men must be converted to gentlemen. The woman who is womanish has to be translated and transformed to a lady. Because the ladylike, ladies know how to sit with their legs together and something over their legs. Some women sit like cowboys. You just got off the horse. And you got to understand what God is saying to you. The Holy Spirit is real. We cannot bring shame to God. We cannot disgrace the body of God. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he who destroys the body or the temple, him God will destroy. Men are not sissies. Hallelujah. In many rural areas, come on here, which I would raise, the manners of the gentlemen were not valued. Gentlemen were considered sissies. I was taught as a boy in the rough, tough, to be rough and tough and mean. So it took years of God working on me to teach me that his standard for Christian ministers was not macho hardness, but rather a gentle kindness. I wondered how many other men might have the same kind of upbringing they have to overcome. One requirement for ministers that is especially important here is that they slander no one. Another translation say that we must speak evil of no one. We're showing good manners. We're treating our brother how we want as a brother to be treated. I don't want nobody talking any kind of way to me. So guess what, brother? I ain't talking that way to you. God bless you, brother. Come on here, and then somebody, I'm going to reap what I sow. God just said, God bless you, brother. Amen. Pray God, praying for you and your family. Now, my seeds went out, and I will reap what I have sowed. Somebody's going to say to me, maybe for the service out, God bless you, brother, and I'm praying for your family. Look how fast I got back what I gave. But if I talk to you any kind of way, call you out your name, mistreat you before people, say anything to you, oh, somebody waiting to give me back that same measurement is coming back to me. Maybe before I get home. You reap what you sow. So we are taught to be gentlemen to our ladies. Study the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Let me throw this in there for you as a bonus. Huh? It says, study the ants, oh slugger, lazy person. Get up and learn and read, study. What do they do? They build colonies. They work together in unity. They have no overseer, as this scripture Paul is writing the title. The ants don't have no overseer, no bishop, no rulers. They just work in unity. They work together. And what everything that they do, they build colonies. And who do they build them for? They build everything around the queen. Why? Because our gentlemen are not sissies. We are made by God. We are hardcore. God ordained a man. He put a backbone in a man. He made him the head of the house of the prophet, priest, and the king. And you're bread, you're provider, you're the provisionary, you're the seer of that house. See? And so God wants you to be. So they build everything around that ant. They build colonies. Everything is built around what? The queen. The gentlemen do everything around for the ladies. They tip the hat for the ladies. They open the door for the lady. They pull the chair for the lady. They open the car door for the ladies. It's ladies and gentlemen, not man and woman. because men need working on. We got to chisel that man. We got to get that hardcore equipment out and start chiseling that man until we can pull that gentleman out of there. Then we got to go work with these womanish, mannerish women and chisel her till we can pull a lady out of that woman. Then put the lady with the gentleman and the gentleman with the lady. And then things would be so much better for us. Hallelujah, because we know how to treat one another then. See? This is powerful. Glory be to God. Now we need to understand this. All right, another requirement for ministers. Watch this here. That especially important here is slander no one. Obey translation. We must speak evil of no one. That's slander, to translation it now. That we must speak evil of no one. That means we must guard our tongues. That means we must bridle our tongues. Lord over our tongues. That means we can't be loose lips that sink ships. That means we can't say how we feel all the time. That means there's something we got to take that we don't like, run it through the cookie cutter or the computer, and come up with a better way to handle it. Because if we speak out the way we're receiving it, they might not like it coming back. So that means that God is taking words, running it through the machine, coming up with a different data about the same thing to handle that same thing that irks you in a different way where they can see God and not you. See how powerful that is? And I have to do it all the time. And it's not easy. Because you feel like giving it back to them the way they give it to you. But you got to take something bad, run that data through, process it, and you'll come up with another way how to say it in a better way than you received it. God, I feel like running around this church, but I got to do this here for you. Because some things the devil do deliberately to break your focus and get you off the game plan that God set you on to try to change your manners. Remember, good manners are corrupted by evil communication. Glory be to God. So we're working on our manners today. Another thing for us to have good manners is this. All right? So you find our speech must be, as Paul told Colossians, should always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Your speech should what? To have good manners, your speech should change and always be seasoned with grace and seasoned with salt. Well, what does salt do? It seasons. Whatever spoil, when I'm at my dining room table and they set my food before me, if I taste a bitterness in my mouth, I can add a little salt to it to flavor it. Okay? Sometimes when there's bitterness, because the devil will send some bitterness to your mouth. And you got to remember the Lord said that, okay, you don't look for the salt shaker. The Lord said, you are the salt of the earth. Use some of that, reach in there, shake some of that word up. See? You are the salt of the earth. So that's the word. You're the shaker. The word is in you. The salt is in you. Then when bitterness comes, shake some of that word out. Make what is bitter to you taste flavorable to you. Good God Almighty, I try to tell you, I feel like, brother. Glory be to God. Take what is bitter to your mouth, because the Bible said when it's bitter to your mouth, it will be sweet to your belly. So learn to take what is bitter to us, shake a little salt on us like we do at the table, to where you can impalate that and it'll taste good. Hallelujah. How you could take something that don't taste good and make it taste good so you can have a blessed day. Tell the Lord, thank you. Amen. Because what you do, if you don't learn to season yourself with grace, everything that is bitter, you just push it to the side. See, you become a wasteful person. I'm not eating that. I don't want that. People put a lot of time and love in that. You're just wasteful. You're just wasting. So we don't want your time, not be your day, to be wasted as a preacher, as a minister, or an ambassador. So we are called by grace, and our words should be full of grace and seasoned with salt. Because there's going to be somebody coming to put bitterness in my mouth. And I've already got the salt to keep flavoring it so I can keep going on. And that's called also when you do stuff like that, when you know it's bitter and it comes to distract you, yet you pour the salt on it, you taste it where it's good now, that's also called resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Because I fixed what you tried to do. I salted it so I could handle that. If I didn't have my season with me, you'd be in trouble. If you had to give God praise. Amen. Now, so, another way to maintain good manners and to stay pure in the sight of God is to let our language not be off course. No coarse language. Another type of speech that must be avoided is coarse language. What is this? Paul told the Ephesian church, all right? They must have been cussing and stuff. Paul told the Ephesian church, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Unwholesome talk. Mm-hmm. But only what is helpful for building up others. And sometimes we waste ourselves and our time and our energy on a whole lot of words that instead of building church, we're tearing it down. Unwholesome words, see, are not enriching or satisfying to the soul. But let it be words that can build, modify. Remember, we are supposed to be for the edifying of the church and the upbuilding of the temple. So it got to be, everything got to be based on what's coming out of your mouth. Okay? Then it says here, all right? Not only what is helpful for the building of others, but profanity, vulgarity. People cuss, they save, they ain't delivered. I did a class on that. You could be saved and not delivered. There's a difference. Some folks think that they saved because they recite, the preacher said, receive that, say that to me. Romans 10:19, if thou will confess with thy mouth, believe in thy heart, God raised Jesus from, that don't matter nothing. If you hadn't accepted God wholeheartedly with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you just receding and paraphrasing behind the preacher. But your heart still need to be delivered. Your ways need some delivering. There's still got to be an adjustment and some change to you. Yes, you confess what you're about. Yes, you believe with your heart that God raised Jesus from the grave. Yes, that's the documentary that said, now you're born again. God accepted you as a child of God. Now you're saved. Yeah, but because you're saved don't mean you're delivered. Now we got to take you through a deliverance service. Now you have to be delivered. Just because God saved you, you got to be delivered. Listen, every soldier that go into any military rank, army, military, navy, whatever you want, marine, whatever you want to do, they just enlisted. That don't mean they saved. There ain't no marine yet. You just signed up. You thought that because you sign up, you're ready. You will get yourself killed. I hope they don't give you no gun right away. Tell love, thank you, Gomer Powell. Come on, lift your hand and give God a praise. You'll be going out on the battlefield thinking you're Gomer Powell or Bonnie Pipe. You got but one bullet. You got to learn your weapon. Put on the whole armor of God. They're going to teach you your weapon. They got to break you down first before you break a gun down. They got to get you conditioned, put military in you, get civilian out of you. Change your manners, your street manners, your street ways, your hateful manners. You told your mom and daddy at home, shut up. You went to the army and you joined or one of the military rank, and now you think you can't tell them, sergeant, shut up. Now you reap what you sow, you have to shut up. See? Because why? They're going to get that sassiness, that rudeness, that spoiled whining boy and girl out of you. when they get through with you. They're going to break you down. And they're going to put soldier in you. Glory be to God. So it has to be a change. No cussing. We got to get that cussing out. You got some folks cuss their mama, cuss their daddy. Tomorrow I didn't mean to say that. When I get mad, that's me. No, if you got bipolar schizophrenia, you need problems, you need to go get yourself some help. The Bible said to honor your mother and your father so that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord thy God giveth you. You're not supposed to cuss your mother or your father. I don't care what the circumstances is. Because when you take that attitude and that manners towards your own parents who brought you here, you'll take that manners into high places and around preachers and downtown, around judges, around anybody, into the streets, disrespecting women, cussing folk, because that is what they let you get away with so long. It becomes a part of you. So when we come to the house of God, Paul was telling Timothy and told the Ephesians church and all these things, no cussing, no profanity, blaspheming. What is blaspheming? Against the Holy Spirit. Talking bad about God. Blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Cussing God. Using the word God and then look and damn in the same sentence. How many know you don't damn God? You don't do stuff like that. No, you don't do that. You're not supposed to take the name of the Lord. He said, Moses said, who shall I send me when I go back? He said, tell him I am sent you. That's my name. And you cannot take the name I am and use it downwardly. Like, for example, I am sick. I am weak. I am crazy. I am ill. Because when you say I am this to you, you taking the name of the Lord God in vain, saying God is sick, God is crazy, God is all that, because God's name is I am. He said, I am that I am. Do you understand what I'm saying now? You cannot use his name downwardly. You must use it in an upward way. You must lift it. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So let's cut the cussing out. Blaspheming and other impure language simply have no place in the vocabulary of a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Got preachers out here that'll cuss you out and go sit right in that car and pull that liquor from under that seat and drink they Jack Daniel and they Fifth and cuss you some more. Come short with the money and you get a cuss out. Don't do what they tell you to do. See, these are not God's ambassadors. These are the devil has his own ministers. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And it ain't going to listen. Now, so we got to monitor what come out of that. He said, Jesus just said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, right? He didn't say what? So out of the abundance of the heart, they cuss. They could say, I didn't mean to say that. That came out of your heart, man. Come on. He said, out of the abundance of your heart. That's just like I was telling you about here. You can hear the devil and hear God. And once you hear from both of them, but you cannot see, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get your miracle as you put on it. You're going to see. Same thing with this. Out of abundance of the heart. So because people read that, out of abundance of the heart, and they think it's all good stuff. No, out of abundance of the heart. Evil comes out the heart. Evil continuously. Spirit of covetousness, backbiting, all that stuff. The Bible said it comes out the heart. Okay, let me wind this down. Okay, Jesus said, out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right? 10, to use foul language under stress. You know, that's why I don't like them to stress me out, because they make me say something I ain't got no business saying all the time. Anything is an excuse when you want to do what you want to do. You just need to live it. Then we need to get the foulness out of our heart. We must ask God to deliver us and set a guard over our lips. In whatever form, ill manners will tend to discredit our ministry when you're an ill-mannered person. We are on time for our appointments. Look here. Or do we keep people waiting? You see that? We are on time for our appointments, or do we keep people waiting? They keep people waiting. Do we write thank you notes for gifts and other kindnesses, or do we forget to show gratitude? Okay? We forget to show gratitude. Do we wait our turn in conversation, or do we tend to interrupt others? We interrupt others. Okay? Do we treat store clerks with respect, or do we impatiently demand it, hollering at them? Love is patient, kind, and does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Ministers of God are called to be ladies and gentlemen of God. God bless you tonight. And I trust that this message that we talk to you about manners, change your manners. And remember, your manners will carry you where your money won't. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Study the fruit of the Spirit. There are 17, go to Galatians 5:19 and study the works of the flesh. And the rest of them is in 2 Timothy 3:1. And then go to Galatians 5:20 and study the 9 fruits of the Spirit and become masters, that you may know how to carry yourself as a respectable man and woman of God, and one with dignity and clarity and integrity. Amen. Praise God. And be one of an authentic person. Authentic means to be real, not fake, not phony. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. I trust that I said something this afternoon to teach you on the seventh M called manners. Amen. My prayers will be you as apostle. I dispatch right now the apostolic anointed fire that will come your way. The wind of the Holy Ghost is blowing your way to bring you into an abundance of financial freedom and debt cancellation. Miracle healing and deliverance is coming your way in the name of Jesus. I pray for your family. I pray healing upon you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And remember this, God is the strongest power, and because he is, we're not defeated, because this is the Lord's word. God bless you until next time.